The Laughing Violin of Kim Angelis on the Saturday Cafe from her album The Prophecy. And joining me in the studio this afternoon are Josef Galt and Kim Angelis. Welcome to the Saturday Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. We are delighted to be here.
We are.
Your biography says classical training kind of cross-pollinated with world music. Tell us how that happened. I mean, how did the wind happen to blow that particular pollen across you?
Well, my mother was always very interested in world music, and she loved to dance flamenco. And so she had a very peculiar, eccentric collection of albums, LPs, and that probably was the genesis and the germ of all this. And then I happened to meet Josef, who was not a classical musician at all. So he really broadened my horizons and introduced me to all kinds of music.
Well, a lot of the influences come from various parts of the Romani diaspora, but the song that we started the set with, Cruzet's Fiddle, that's got to be Quebecois. That's French-Canadian fiddle if ever I heard it.
Well, it's supposed to be about Pierre Cruzat, who made the crossing with Lewis and Clark, the Corps of Discovery, and he brought his fiddle along. And that fiddle was a peacemaker, because everywhere they went, the Native Americans were so fascinated by it that they had no trouble with unfriendliness. And it was indeed a peacemaker.
What is it about the violin that kind of talks to people that way, do you think?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. I don't know the answer. I really don't.
I've heard it said that the violin or fiddle is closest to a human voice. And so
I've certainly heard that too.
It may be that this instrument that is making talking sounds from a non-talking source.
Yes. Maybe the strings and their vibration and the way it's right next to the chest. I don't know.
I would very much like to hear the story behind Jordan's Dance and
have you play
that song for us. Oh. Would you tell us the story?
Sure. Josef and I were performing in a little church in Springfield, Illinois, the land of Lincoln. And in the front row sat a beautiful little girl named Jordan. She was there with her grandma, and she was so pretty. She'd been a model, that she had spina bifida, so she was there with her crutches. And at intermission, people came up and said, "Oh, your music makes us feel like dancing." So to begin the first song of the first set, which was called The Dancing Gypsy, I invited people to dance. I love it when people dance along with our music. But nobody got up and danced. Nobody at all. Except for Jordan. And I have so much trouble telling this story because it was a miracle. With those crutches, she whirled and twirled, and her spirit completely overcame her physical limitations. And everybody in the entire church started crying, and it was a marvelous, incredible thing to have seen, and we are very blessed to have seen that. And mm-hmm. So it took me several years to write the song, because whatever music she was dancing to was far better and greater than anything I could ever play. It was incredible. And that's Jordan's Dance. And we are going to play it for you.
Thank you.
my guests today on the Saturday Cafe, Kim Angelus and Yosef Galt. That was Jordan's Dance. And I'm a little exhausted from dancing around the studio to that. Speaking of dancing, you have ribbons off the headstock of your violin dancing when you play. Is that why they're there? I mean, what's the story with those little streamers?
Well, a long, long time ago, I decided if I was getting all dressed up, and for concerts, I really do get dressed up, I should dress up my instrument too. And these are left over from our last concert where I was wearing these colors. However, tonight I'll be wearing different colors. I have to change my ribbons.
So basically, it's formal wear for the violin.
Exactly.
You could start a trend for that and get a little internet business going on.
Yes.
Tiny little tuxedos and cummerbunds.
Yes. Well, yes. Actually, that would be, I'm contemplating that.
She's working on a business plan right here in the studio.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
Oh, that's a different sort of inspiration than your last album. All of the tracks on your last album, The Prophecy, are linked in one way or another to phrases from the Book of Isaiah.
That's correct.
How did this happen how'd you think of that?
Well, I made a very, very in-depth study of the Book of Isaiah. There is a scholar, Edward J. Young, who wrote a 3-volume, very in-depth study of the Book of Isaiah, his own translation, in the 1960s. And I saw on the internet that it was the most highly recommended study of the Book of Isaiah ever. So I purchased it, and it took me about a year to go through the whole thing. And some of the scripture passages are so beautiful that they inspired me to write music. And other pieces of music had already been written and inspired by other things like Cruzat's fiddle and Jordan's dance. So that was the way to blend them all in to a hopefully cohesive whole. But quite a few of the songs on the CD, the vast majority in fact, were inspired by these incredible passages that really stirred my heart.
I'd always thought of Isaiah as being one of the most poetic of the Old Testament prophets.
It's so poetic. And I love the outdoors so much. And there's so much in the book, like the incredible passage where all the trees of the field shall clap their hands and the mountains shall sing for joy, and all these things that are just... Ah, and the pastures leap and dance. It's wonderful.
No preaching in here, knocking.
I'm just mentioning things that inspire me.
Well, it's a lovely imagery for anyone who inspired by the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one tends to want to segregate, you know, scripture from nature, and it's not the case.
No, it isn't. No.
Well, you're performing 2 shows in our listening area, tonight at Troubadour Music in Corvallis at 8 o'clock, tomorrow in Roseburg at First Presbyterian Church at 7 p.m. Thank you very much for making a side trip, because we're not on a direct route from Astoria to Corvallis on any map tonight.
Well, that's okay. It's totally worth it. We have always enjoyed Eugene and...
Yeah,
Tracktown USA, yes.
Yes,
we're runners.
We want to do a concert here one of these days, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to work on that.
Wonderful.
We have time for one more tune, if you would be so kind.
We'd love to. Why don't we play something not on the prophecy? We're going to play Joaquin.
Okay, I'll have to retune a little bit, but I'll just take a moment.
And this song was from... Well, it's inspired by a very peculiar legend. In the gold country where we once lived a long time ago, before we lived in Astoria, there was a legendary fellow named Joaquin Murrieta, and he supposedly terrorized the miners, and supposedly the U.S. government stepped in and came up with the head of Joaquin. And this head, supposed head of Joaquin, was on display in San Francisco, along with the hand of three-fingered Jack, until the 1906 earthquake, when both of these artifacts totally disappeared. However, There are many who say that Joaquin was never beheaded, and he went down to Chile, where he was a Robin Hood, giving away all his ill-gotten gains to the poor and disenfranchised to that country. And we had the great privilege to have performed in Chile twice, and it was so funny. Joaquin is their hero, whereas in California, he's
still a villain.
Yes. So it was really fun to perform this song down there. Thank you.